We wouldn't be able to keep this archive going without your support. Donate online today at wyxr.org.
Hello, Memphis. This is Luther from the North Mississippi All-Stars, and you are listening to WYXR 91.7 FM.
Welcome, 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 welcome. You are listening to WYXR 91.7 Memphis. And that was the great Carmel Jones, trumpet man, under-recorded, under-talked about. That's what we do here, though. We try to play the musicians that, not everybody plays all the time. That's why we're community radio. Night Tide is the name of the composition. That's from the remarkable Carmel Jones, 1961 on a fantastic Pacific imprint over there in La La Land, Los Angeles. Harold Land on tenor saxophone, Gary Peacock bass, Frank Strazzari on piano, good Italian boy, Leon Pettis on drums. And we do come to you every, let's get lost, we come to you every single Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. We follow Angela and we lead into Miss Shelby. And we bring you the best in jazz, best we have to offer. I'm kind of mid-century, not kind of, almost all mid-century. We scour the records. You know how many records were made back then? It's we, me and John who share the show, we're always amazed how much content, we call it content now, content. Angela, content. They didn't call it content back then. They were just making records every single day. So many labels, so many artists, and because there was a market for it. And it went away eventually, but thankfully we have this massive treasure trove of material that we can draw for. And that's kind of really sort of the crux of our show, is to scour this period, really bop and post-bop, and play this music for you, this mid-century jazz music that we love. And we have other people that go back into the 1920s and 30s, and we have Shelby will be probably playing you some more modern stuff. There's so much good modern stuff happening right now, but we just kind of go into the, I guess people call it the golden period. Is it a golden period? I don't know. It's a period. I like it. Enough blabbering. We're gonna. I'm gonna start with a little bit of. Here's an underrecorded flautist, Mr. Sam Most. It's a cool record. He's. I'm still discovering what this guy was about. He's another one of these kind of made a couple records and went away. Sam Most was a flautist and tenor saxophone player, but this is his version of Cherokee. Very interesting arrangement. Sam Most. Terry Gibbs, and that was the title cut from his 1964 Impulse release, Take It From Me. Mr. Terry Gibbs is still around. I see him on Facebook. I mean, he's in his mid-90s, I believe. And Terry Gibbs is a great vibraphonist who long career, to say the least. Mr. Kenny Burrell on guitar, wonderful solo. Part of the reason I like that record is Kenny. Sam Jones, bass. Lewis Hayes, drums. For that, Joanne Grauer. I just discovered Joanne. Joanne, man. 1957, Mood for Mode. Mode is the name of the label. Buddy Clark on bass, Great Mel Lewis on drums. That's her Joanne Grauer trio release. And that's the only record she made until like the 70s, and then that was it. She made like one more record, and that's all you hear from Joanne. And I looked her up, and I think she's still around. But very interesting. Maybe we can do more research, but there's not much to research. You only made two records. Before that, Sam Most, another guy didn't make too many records. This is the name of this album is hilarious. That was, of course, his version of Cherokee, which is a very common piece of music that jazz musicians like to play, predominantly for the chord changes. Jazz music, especially bop musicians, post-war instrumentalists, let's put it that way, they love the changes to Cherokee because they're challenging. It's very difficult. It's sort of a rite of passage. You know, you can play Cherokee really fast and you can play. And I thought Sam did a really interesting rendition of it. But the name of the record, I'm Nuts About the Most. Sam, that is. Pretty funny. 1955 on Bethlehem. Bunch of really great players on this. O.C. Johnson drums. Oscar Pettiford on bass, who was, an architect of the music. Barry Galbraith, who plays a nice solo on guitar. Cool record. And I think he did a few things with the sextet, and then he did some other stuff as Sam Most. But Sam Most, the titles lend themselves, really, when your name is Most. We're going to let's continue on with the great Bill Evans and Cannonball Adderley. This is their collaboration they did on Riverside, and of course they were both label mates on that fine imprint. And this is Bill's very well known composition, Waltz for Debbie. Thank you.
Support for WYXR, including our 2024 Stereo Sessions series, comes from Bill Street Caravan. Long-running roots music radio show, Bill Street Caravan is syndicated globally with outlets in Canada, the UK, Australia, and more. Produced steps away from WYXR, right here in Memphis. Co-hosted by me, Jarrett J.B. Boyd, with Memphis Music Maven and Soulsville Foundation CEO, Pat Mitchell World. Each episode brings fans near and far up close to the Bluff City's live music scene. Broadcasted every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. right here on WYXR. More information at BillStreetCaravan.com.
Support for WYXR, including our 2024 Stereo Sessions, comes from Duncan Williams Asset Management, specializing in financial management for individual investors, businesses, nonprofits, and foundations. More information at dwassetmgmt.com.
All right, go support those little things we just mentioned, Duncan Williams and Bill Street Caravan. Man, Bill Street Caravan has been really doing a lot of great things for a long time. My friend T.O. is now heading that thing up and doing really great things. So go check out Bill Street Caravan. We checked out a set of music. We just heard Lou Levy on piano, great pianist, bop, post-bop pianist. This is his album, The Gray Fox. This is 1956 on RCA. Actually, the record's called Jazz in Four Colors. That was a composition, The Gray Fox. Really burning session with his buddy Stan Levy. We did a, actually, no, and they're no relate. They're not related. They both share the last name, but they weren't related. But Stan Levy on drums, we did a show on him like a year or so ago. And he's an interesting character. You can go back and check that out. I think, maybe not, but maybe we'll, I don't know if you can go back and, I'll have to think about that and get back to you. But that was a fun, that was a fun show. Stan Levy was an interesting character who came from Philadelphia and started playing drums and almost immediately was working with Dizzy Gillespie. And I think very closely, or very soon, he struck up a relationship with Lou, and especially by the time he ended up in Los Angeles, because this is definitely an L.A. session. Leroy Vinegar on bass, who was an L.A. stalwart, and Larry Bunker on vibes, who was playing some burning vibraphone on that cut. Larry Bunker's, I've just been thinking about him a lot because he's also on the cut we heard before that, which I'm going to talk about quite a bit. Larry Bunker was playing drums, though, on the Claire Fisher Trio cut. In the middle of the set, we heard just a piano trio cut, not just a piano trio, but we heard Claire Fisher's piano trio. Claire Fisher, real quickly, just to brag about this man, because people talk about she's a genius, he's a genius, they're genius. This man was a legitimate musical genius. Douglas Claire Fisher, he was born in 1928, he died in 2012. We need to do a show on him because you can't fit this man's career. I mean, I'm not going to be able to do it here. We'd have to maybe an hour. I don't even think an hour wouldn't do it. But that trio cut you heard, which I'll briefly just describe, that was a cut called, the composition was called Strayhorn, after Billy Strayhorn. I'm sure it was a hero of his 1963 in Pacific. cut. The album's called Surging Ahead, and it had Ralph Pena on bass and Larry Bunker, who we heard on Vibes before, playing drums. Claire Fisher had a long, long, fascinating career that involved classical music, jazz. He was working with Dizzy Gillespie early on. He was a big Latin music guy early on. He was also a huge influence on Herbie Hancock. Herbie Hancock said that he wouldn't be anywhere without Claire Fisher. He was a major influence. And you can tell by that cut, there's a lot of Herbie-isms, and there's a lot of very modern jazz piano elements in it. And even though that record was done in 1963. But then, interestingly enough, he went on later to have this like whole other career as an arranger in pop music. He worked with Rufus. He worked with Prince. He worked with Robert Palmer, Paul McCartney. Anyway, Michael Jackson. And so he's a fascinating character. We talk a lot about these musicians that were making these records in the 1950s and 60s, and then they kind of disappear. And a lot of times they end up, especially the L.A. ones, end up doing arranging work either in TV and film in a lot of cases. But Claire ended up in pop music, and he's a huge influence to a lot of pop musicians, which is really fascinating. Anyway, Claire Fisher, go check him out. Before that, we heard the great Cannonball Adderley and Bill Evans with their wonderful Cannonball's wonderful record, Know What I Mean, 1962 on Impulse, and that was Bill Evans' composition, Waltz for Debbie. That featured Percy Heath on bass and Connie Kay on drums. Speaking of great pianists, we're going to play my buddy, my former teacher. This is Junior Mance with his composition, I Don't Care. Thank you.
Hi, this is Clark Ortiz with Crosstown Brewing Company. You already know we're passionate about beer, and now we've added food on tap. Our new kitchen is open inside the brewery, serving wings, pizza, burgers, and more. Open for lunch Wednesday through Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. Food and beer, a perfect match, just like our partnership with WIXR. More information at crosstownbeer.com.
All right, go down there and get you some beer down at the Crosstown Brewing Company. Real quick, we're heading down to the wire here. We just heard from the great Lee Morgan. I just got this new Tone Poet version of his album in 1968, Taru. It's really good. I've been digging it. I've been wearing it out. That's the first composition on the album. I'm gonna mess up the title. It's a John Hicks composition. Ivatska One. That's something like that. But that is a John Hicks composition. One of the reasons I bought this record is beyond just being Tone Poet. Tone Poet is a series by Blue Note that they're putting out. They're remastering. And usually when I hear remaster, I'm like, oh no, what have they done to mess the record up? But they are really doing an amazing job with these. I mean, these things sound, they're not, generally with a remaster, what we notice is they kind of squash the record. The record ends up in kind of getting heavily compressed. Kevin Gray, yeah, he's kind of the fella heading this thing up, and he's done a really, really excellent job with all of these editions. They come in incredible packaging with photos and stuff, but this record I bought for a few reasons. One is George Benson's on it. I'm a huge George Benson fan. George Benson's so anytime I can hear some George Benson that I haven't heard, you heard a little solo that he did there on that composition, I grab it. But also John Hicks on piano, that was his piece. Big John Hicks fan. I got to see him in the 90s in New York. He has since passed, but he was a kind of a legendary New York pianist. Not maybe really known outside of New York, but an incredible talent. Benny Maupin on saxophone and reeds and many things. He was famous for being in working with the Headhunters with Herbie Hancock. Reggie Workman on bass, Billy Higgins on drums. Not a bad band, huh? Before that. But anyway, go check out those Blue Note releases, the Tone Poet releases. They're all really, really good. For that, we heard the great Junior Mance. This is his The Soulful Piano of album from 1960 on Jazzland. And I said that was his composition. I don't care, but it's actually Ray Bryant, another great pianist's composition. Featured Ben Tucker on bass, Bobby Thomas on drums. Before we get out of here, I'm going to try to play as much of this as possible. I would be remiss if I didn't mention the loss this week of the great guitarist Russell Malone, who's someone I got to meet about a year and a half ago at a festival that I was playing on. He's a hero of mine. I've been a fan since I was a kid. Russell unfortunately passed away in a concert in Japan with Ron Carter this past week. It's a tragedy. He was not an old fella. He was in good shape. He had had a health scare a number of years ago and had gotten really in great shape. He was very open about his journey with health, and he just suffered a massive heart attack, sadly, and we lost him. I'm going to play. He had a huge output. He worked with Harry Connick Jr. He worked with Diana Krall. He worked with Diana Reeves. He made tons of records on his own. There's tons of stuff you can go out and listen by Russell Malone. He's an Atlanta native. He's a Southerner. He went to New York in the early 90s, late 80s, and had an incredible career. I'm going to play something actually that I just heard for the first time recently. Not something I've been really actually familiar with at all. Ray Brown had put out these series of My Best Friends Are, and he did My Best Friends Are Guitarists, and he made this album with his trio, Jeff Keezer on piano and Kareem Wiggins on bass, and he would feature like all these different guitar players. This record features like Kenny Burrell and all sorts of really great people. We're going to play a Russell Malone cut. This is their version of Little Darlin'. We're going to miss you, Russell Malone. We'll see y'all next week. I'm out. Thanks for everybody for listening. Shelby's up next. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.